Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time of fellowship, God. We thank you, as always, for the glory of your word, Lord God. We ask that you would just change our lives, transmogrify our minds, Lord God. Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, Father. I ask that as we all decrease, you would increase in us, especially me, Lord God, as I'm going to deliver your word. Let your words come through my heart and through my mouth, Lord God. And let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord God, as we discuss your word. Bless, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We love you and we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Amen. Amen. We're in James 7. Hopefully this one or the next one will be the last of it, of the book of James, as we have went through the whole book. Verse 7. James chapter 5. Verse 7, and the scripture reads, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." And then 8 says, "Be ye patient also, or be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Now, before this, we were talking about rich men, how men go after riches and forget the importance of the things of God. And I made mention in the last study, if I'm remembering correctly, and I believe that I am, that the following and going after riches can subside you from the things of God. But it does not say that a rich man cannot enter into the kingdom, but a rich man has something to do. He must be a giver. He has to be able to give away just as well as he's receiving. He has to be able to go and help his fellow man by giving it to the Lord Jesus Christ, helping the church. It's amazing that there's a lot of rich people that will join the church, but nobody is paying anything to help the church flourish and get outreaches and businesses and things of that nature. And so that's why it's not easy for a rich man to enter into the kingdom, but God did not say it was impossible, because always what is impossible for man is possible for God. So if the man's heart is in the right place, he will be able to enter in. But he's telling us in 7 to be patient, therefore. He says, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. So the whole mindset is to run this race with patience. When you're running this race with patience, you have to allow patience to have her perfect work. As we said in the beginning of James, the her means that patience at the end of it is going to birth something beautiful in your life. But you have to be patient, and you got to run this race with patience. And it says, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. So you have to be patient in everything you do, waiting on the Lord. Understanding that this move that I make is going to be for the glory of God. And then if something comes contrary to the things that you know of God, I can't make that move. I can't make that move because it is not befitting the Lord. See, and that's another way that a rich man has to watch himself, because a rich man can get caught up in all kinds of things just for the sake of making money, but where it does not glorify God. So that is a very persnickety slope that a person would have to get on. You have to always be cognizant of the fact that the deals that come to you to make money, if you're looking at the dollar signs, you will get duped into putting your money or giving to a cause that does not glorify God. See, i.e., look at all the politics and the lobbyists and all the big corporate businesses that is making out like a fat rat while the common man can't even get off drugs. Can't even get a house to stay. Can't even buy a pair of shoes. Mothers struggling to give, you know, to feed their kids and babies. Women having to do all kinds of things to please men just so they can feed their children. See, that's not cool. Especially when you have rich people in the land. See, a rich man will take his riches when he's waiting and being patient on the Lord, and he will adopt a family. And get that family. What if you got money like that? Why wouldn't you do that? Adopt a family, even 1, 2, 3 families a year, and give them the opportunity to get off their feet, get out there, teach them how to fish so they can get their own money. And then bring other rich people as you raise them into a place where we're going to adopt some families. Let's shut down the abortion clinics and adopt these kids. Let's do this. Let's do that. What happened to the orphanages? What happened to all these things? They make money because the state pays for them. But when it becomes about the dollar, you don't care about the children. You see what I'm saying? So no man can serve God and mammon, which is money. See? And we know that the love of money is the root of all evil. Because you love it, you cannot love God. So we have to be patient, therefore, running this race unto the coming of the Lord. It goes on to say, behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit on the earth. He's given an example. And how long, and excuse me, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. So the husbandman, the vine dresser, waits for a very long time to get fruit. So anybody that is a farmer, anybody that is in the agricultural scene, they wait for the precious fruit that comes off a tree. They are preparing the roots and preparing the vine and preparing the soil so that it can bring forth what farmers like to call a bumper crop. You just don't want fruit, but you want the best fruit that that tree can produce. So that's why you get mulch. That's why you see you dig around it and you mulch around it. You put nutrients in the dirt and you keep all kinds of things. You water it on a regular, but you don't give it too much water because you don't want to kill the fruit. So you set up a system where you patiently nurture this tree, nurture this vine to bring forth the fruit. That's why he is called the husbandman or the vine dresser. And you waited for the precious fruit of the earth. And you have long patience. You use patience for it until you receive the early and latter rain. You receive what you need to receive from the tree. But you had to use patience and the nurturing impatience to get there. God is saying the same thing when it comes to your riches. Same thing when it comes to your wealth. You have to take baby steps. See, a lot of people just run to the casino. I want a billion. Well, you know that's a pipe dream. You hear what I'm saying? Now, it's a blessing if you could win the lottery, but I think that lottery thing is shut up. I don't care if a person plays that every once in a while. You never know. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. But can God trust you with that kind of favor? Can he bless you? What was the thing? $1.5 billion was the thing a couple of days ago. And can he trust you with that kind of favor? Will you do good with the money? Or will you become the biggest drug addict known to man? Or will you become very obnoxious and crazy? Would you become an oligarch that thinks he's God? Or will you become something that God would be proud of, knowing that you are good ground and he can sow into that ground? Because if he give you $1.5 billion and you prove to be good with the $1.5 billion, he could give you $17 trillion and know that you are good ground. He knows that he's sowing into good ground. But patience brings about a good ground. So you cannot have the things in this life without the patience that it takes to achieve. Oftentimes we step way ahead of ourselves and find ourselves into trouble. But we need to run the race with patience. Look where you are now. Where you are is a good start to start operating, tilling your ground, running in patience, setting up situations where 10 years from now you could be a little better. 20 years from now you could be a little better. But you got to start where you're at. You got to start somewhere. Everybody wants the mountaintop experience, and they don't realize that you got to climb the side of the mountain to get the mountaintop experience. You can't just start at the top of the mountain. That's the fantasia of Disneyland and the foolishness of fairy tales. I'm going to start at the top of the mountain and work my way down to heaven. No, if God took you to the top, you'll get comfortable there. And you won't want to come down to us peasants. You see what I'm saying? So 8 says, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. So just be patient. The ground that is being worked here is your heart. Because if your heart is right towards God, then God can bless you. He can trust you with favor. And then once he trusts you with that favor, the sky's the limit. He can always pour into that good ground. Whenever he needs or someone needs, he'll pour into you and know that you're going to give it to somebody else. He'll send people around, trotting by, just like the horse past the barn, to come and get what they need to get. When he considers you to be good ground, he will always have somebody coming to pick off your tree to eat. That's just the way it is. And so he says, be ye also patient, establish your hearts. Why? For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The day is going to come. And we forget that in our everyday planning. We forget that. It doesn't mean you can't plan ahead. It doesn't mean you can't plan for years to come. But how are you trying to get it? If you really understand that the Lord is near and that the day of the Lord is coming, then you will make sure you dot every I and cross every T and make sure everything that you do is for the glory of God. See? 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. So the judge being God, he's standing before the very door of whatever it is you think you're finna open up. So don't grudge one against another. See, that's another reason why people don't have the money that they have or the open door that they have or the favor that they should have from God. Number one, they don't run with patience. Number two, they're grudging other people for what they got. Don't be catching an attitude with a person for what they got. It doesn't matter how a person treats you. How can you love on them so that you will not be, I don't want to use condemn, but so that the cohorts of hell and the demons of hell can accuse you? Can you live before men without accusation? No, man ain't going to let you live. Because the better you do, they're going to talk about you. But you're not worried about what man says. Can you live in your heart and your mind before man and find no guilt in yourself because you just loved on them the way God loved on you? That's the only way to do that. So there's another reason why people don't have what they need, not just for their patience and running this race with patience, but because of the grudging. See, grudging puts something in you where you start trying to keep up with the Joneses. I want a house like they got. Why can't you have a 27 mansion and use it for a men's home? Split it in half. Use it for a woman's home. Use it for something that's going to glorify God. Pull some drug addicts off the street. Do something else besides just, how many rooms can you live in at once? Do you really need, just for you, 27 bedrooms? 15 cars? We ain't even going to talk about no tennis shoes. Yeah, you know, this generation, y'all like a lot of tennis shoes. I wouldn't try to throw nothing at nobody. All right. So, 10, it says, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. How they suffered, the prophets of old, and how they were afflicted for the name of the Lord's sake. Take what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. How he was afflicted, beaten, just to go to the cross and die so that we could be saved. A lot of people want this life in Christ because they're teaching that in these big fancy churches, you know, that you ain't got to go through nothing, you ain't got to suffer nothing. If you're suffering, it might be because the devil is. No. Suffering is good because it grows you. See? Suffering is good because it grows you. The Bible says that God, when he sees a branch that have fruit on it, he prunes it, he cuts it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Well, if that tree had blood flowing through it, like a human being. Every time it got pruned, it would, ouch. What if somebody just came by and cut off one of your limbs so that you could grow two arms? Because that's the mentality of a plant. You cut it, then it branches off and grows more so that that branch can hold more fruit. Because God is blessed in the multiplication of fruit that comes in your life. That's how he is blessed. So when you are the branch, suffering is going to come, affliction is going to come. But can you stand in God with it? Because that determines how tasty your fruit is. See. 11. Behold, we count them happy. Talking about the prophets, which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. So you see that at the end of the Lord's life, he was very pitiful, but still of tender mercies. When the women came up to him, he said, don't pray for me. Pray for yourselves. Because if this is what happens when the earth is green, what do you think is going to happen when it's dry? See, now you start to connect things because it was really an agricultural society and an agricultural time that he used these terminology. 12, it says, but above all things, my brothers, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea. Lest you fall into condemnation. You got to be very careful of people that will not give you a yes or no answer. They're speaking somewhere in the middle ground. The Bible says in another place that let all your communications be yea for yea, nay for nay. And Jesus spoke this. From everything else comes evil, because it allows a person to come up with their own understanding of what it is you're actually saying. You see what I'm saying? Why send somebody through that? If you have a point, open up your mouth. Say yes or say no and let it be just that. Because people get condemned by listening to a long soliloquy of something that you ain't talking about. People like to gaslight. People like to play that game and just talk for the sake of talking so they can look important. So you got to be able to recognize who they are and move on past them. So it says, let your communication be yea, for, be yea, yea, or nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Why? Because you're not perfectly expressing what it is a person is supposed to do. How do you follow that instruction like that? Pretty hard. It says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So, is anybody sick? Is anybody merry? If you're merry, sing songs. If you're happy, sing songs. While you're feeling good, give glory unto God for your joy and for you, you know, give God something, because that happiness just didn't come for yourself. But if you're sick, go to the church. Get with the elders so that they can pray over you and you can get healed. Why? So that you can have the joy. Because it's all about joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's all about joy. 15. And the prayer of the faith, shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be, forgiven him. Oh, it's cold. They shall be forgiven him. If there's any sin, they shall be forgiven him. What picture is this painting? So, that don't mean you have to be all righteous to go to the elders to get healed. That don't mean you have to be perfect to go to the elders and get up. That don't mean you have got to have lived a perfect life to go to the elders to get healed. If they come, bless them. If they come, bless them. If they come, help them. If they come, keep them. If they come, reach towards God for them. Because in their sickness and in their sinful, laden self, they cannot get out of it no other way unless they be shown. Because if they knew the right way, then guess what? They wouldn't be in the circumstance that they're in. They need help. They need help. Everybody needs a little help. 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. Now, this takes on a whole new connotation when you put 15 and 16 together. Let me read it. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Why did that take on a new meaning? Because that's talking about the church who may be backslidden, the church who may be off the road now, the church who may think they're all that in the bag of chips, the church that prophesies wrong, the church that preaches wrong, the church, because as soon as somebody point out somebody in church, the first thing we do, oh, he did that? But our first response should be pray. If he's sick, if he's afflicted, if he has any sin, pray. See? Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Will you be the man or will you be the woman that is righteous, that when you hear the gossip, you'll pray? When you hear, whether you know it's a lie or not, you'll pray. See? Because Christ shed some type of blood for whoever it is if they're coming to Christ. So we need to meet Christ right where he's at in prayer, that he will hear on the right hand of the Father and deliver whomever it is, because deliverance is not in our hands, but we are the ones that's bringing the power of God down to earth. So how do you do that? In prayer. We need to be the one that's praying. And when people want to talk about somebody, you tell them, but did you pray for them? See? Because that puts it right back in God's hand and it takes it out of everybody else's hand. We want to start correcting things and telling people what they should do and how they should do it. And you can do that as long as you have the word of God with you, because that's God's word. But if you don't have no word of God, then you need to shut up, go in the corner and pray. See, that's the way this thing works. See, that is the way. So if you say you're a Christian, let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. If you know it's of God, then say yes. If you know it's of the enemy, say no. Anything that puts you in the middle ground, pray. If it's not absolutely sure, pray. If you can't see past tomorrow, pray. If you're sick, you don't know if you're going to get better tomorrow, pray. If you're poor and can't got no bills, pray. Whatever it is that we need to do, pray. If you need to go to the elder of the church and lift that up, do that. Pray. See? So that God can hear and heal our land. Let me show you another way. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. See, the first thing we run to is not prayer. The first thing we do is bend our ear. Oh, really? When? Oh, yes. Tell me more. Tell me more. No, quit filling my head with all that. Can we pray? And if we don't show people that, then why would they do it? Every time something comes to us that is of a negative connotation or something that we are unsure of, if it's not yay for yay, nay for nay, what we need to do is pray. And we need to be the catalyst to take other people that's bringing it to the prayer room of God. See, pray. That could revolutionize this whole city if everybody would just let the Lord fight their battle and pray. 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So Elias was a prophet that prayed. But he was a man that was subject to like passions, just like us. That means he didn't do everything right. In some areas, he might not even been caught up. But he was a prayer. He prayed. And when he prayed that it would not rain, it didn't rain by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And 18 says, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. It says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converted a sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. So, instead of pointing out what everybody's got wrong, what we need to do is learn how to pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. And praying for people that you love should be easy. So if you love everybody, then you got an easy job. Pray. But if you hate, then condemnation is already set in your heart. See, it's easy to pray. That's why I don't want to hate nobody. Even the ones that do me wrong. I got to love them. Because if I don't love them, I will not pray for them. And that's just the reality. Yeah, your pastor said it. I am a man that is of like passions, and I am a man that is flawed. And if you get me angry and I allow you to take me there, I will hate you. And if I hate you, I will not pray for you. But if I can look past your fault and see your need, then I will love you. And then I will pray for you with the right mind, with the right heart, with the right motive. And I'll be looking at God, expecting the day when you get it all right in anticipation. Because let him know, as it says in 20, that he which converted a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Isn't that what we are supposed to be? Bearers of light and bearers of life. And when we do that for somebody else, guess what we do for ourselves? We hide a multitude of sin. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for your word being so rich and powerful. Lord, thank you for using me to complete this, Father. I ask that you bless us, Lord God. Forgive us all our sin and forgive us all from these unrighteous thoughts and unrighteous actions, Lord God. But we pray, Lord God, that every time before we open our mouth, we would start to pray. We would start to pray. Some things just have to be discussed, but we should never leave it just at the discussion. We should always pray. Let man understand that it is not our job to faint, but it is our job to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
The evil ones dwell, cause they fail. What some like to refer to as hell, never unveil the downscale of the segregated, isolated, degenerate.
integrated and investigated committee. Destroy the whole city one by one. Make it kill off each other with the knife or because you having fun. But in the end, you'll be judged by the Lord, cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking up some truth into your souls I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs, look, he ain't a stranger. And get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger.
People, get ready, cause he's coming.
Right, don't delay. Stop making rich your worldly way. Cause once you sell out to the devil, ain't no need to pray. Cause when you die, that's where you lie. And ain't no resurrection. Burning in the lake of fire, left without no protection. Rejection is what the enemy really despises. He tells you what you wanna hear, but you know he good for lies. Rebuke the keep on stepping, that's your weapon and it work. It don't matter what he say, it don't matter where he lurk. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend. Cause trust don't get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out. Stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow. So pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming.
What you would do, cause when it's time to get judged, see that's between him and you. Hit your knees and praise the one and only true savior. That's all you're seeing behind closed doors. And yet he forget you. And if you don't commit your life living in sin, then in hell is where you dwell for eternity. And then you're burning fire and the pain will never cease. Plus ain't no getting out though, you begging again at least. There is hope, seven seals and the trumpets blow for peace in heaven and hell on earth. That's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up and get some education. It's all there loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit to the angel of death. You better think about it before you come up on your last breath. Repent for all your sins, learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare, we live in the last days.